finely balanced. But the big story of the day is what I described at the top of the show as a statement win, and I stand by that. It's a massive statement win. South Africa winning with 16 balls remaining, not only winning, but winning by 8 wickets. And in fact, the second wicket, the wicket of Laura Wolfart, only went down when South Africa were on the brink of victory anyway. Anika Bosch playing the most sensational innings. Let's talk to our cricket correspondent, a man who follows the game intimately, and I know you enjoy his contributions on the show. Kevin Rademeier, great to have you back, and great to have you back on such a momentous evening for South African sport.
Yes, good evening, Michael. I think you summed it up beautifully there. I don't think you need me on the show.
I need you, Kevin.
I think your passion about the game is excellent. Even during your football commentary on Tuesday, you were super excited about the ladies getting through, which you heard just about midway through the second half.
Yeah.
And you summed it up beautifully there.
Thank you very much. It's quite tough to multitask when you're commentating off a television monitor and sort of keeping an eye on the cricket at the same time. And listeners are sending me messages about that this team are through or that team are through. And I'm trying to do run rate calculations in my head. Multitasking is, I've become used to it, Kevin. But I suppose let's just talk about this win today. When Australia set up that total of 134. 134, as far as the tournament is concerned, is a pretty decent score on what seemed to be a slow wicket, the ball holding up a little bit. And South Africa sort of let it get away towards the end. Australia had some big, big overs right towards the end of the innings. Tasman Britt dropping a catch in the outfield, which is very uncharacteristic of her. And Australia seemed to just maybe have 10, perhaps 15 runs too many. And especially when Britt was out early in the South African run chase, you thought, okay, is the batting going to fall apart? But South Africa held it together and they showed nerves of steel at the end of the day. Just sum up for me what you take out of this performance today.
Well, once again, you summed that up nicely. I think it started at the toss. If people can't remember, the Proteas actually won the toss, took a positive step and put Australia into bat, which went against the grain. Especially for what happened in the past in the tournament. However, it seemed, and I think that's what they read correctly, is that the ball was coming on a lot better later in the evening.
Mm.
I believe it was slower. Australia struggled in the power play even, scoring 35 after the 6 overs for 2 wickets, and they struggled to actually get some pace on the ball. When South Africa came in, which is great, the ball looked like it came on, and the batters had very little problems. So I think, once again, that set the tone. They were aggressive. Most teams would like runs on the board in a semi-final clash. They chose to do it the hard way, hoping and believing that the ball would come on, and it did. I think, and you summed it up beautifully again. I think most of the people in South Africa thought, yeah, we go again.
Mm.
We contained them 117 overs, and it got away from us in the last 3 overs. But great start. You said that we lost a wicket quite early, but at least they were positive. And I heard Wolfart after the match say they intentionally did that. They had 4 runs after 2 overs,
mm.
and they said, we can't do this. We need to be positive. We need to put our foot down, which is great for South African cricket, because, as you know, we normally are quite traditional and we are quite conservative in our approach in these knockout games.
Mm. Kevin, I couldn't help but think back to the men's final earlier this year in the T20 World Cup, with a match that South Africa would have probably won about, I'd say, 97, 98 times out of 100, and somehow they contrived to throw it away when well set. And I thought, how are South African women going to throw away this match, having set up a great position? But they held their nerve. They did it. Let's talk about Anika Bosch. I've watched Anika Bosch bat many, many times for the South African national team. I have never seen her play an innings even close to this. The highest score in the tournament individually so far, and just the most sensational innings. She took on the challenge after Brits was out, and she just saw it right through to the end.
Well, let me go to your first comment, and you are correct. At the bottom, they always have the win predictor. And if you remember, in the men's final, it was up to 92% at some point.
Mm.
So when they start putting the win predictor up at 90% for the women, you as a South African Protea fan, you want to look away.
Yeah.
But luckily we stayed positive. You are correct with Annika Bosch, and you, once again, 100% correct, the quickest 50 in this tournament in 31 balls. Also the second quickest ever in a World Cup, 51 in 31 balls. She turned that into 74 runs after 48 balls. But Michael, I think what was more significant is at some point, she only had one dot ball in 23 balls. Not only did she always take the positive route again and assaulted the bowlers at times, but the thought that she put in there, getting the singles when it was important, hitting the boundary when a bit of pressure was coming up there. And today was the day. Don't forget, she didn't come into this match with great form. Before the match, she said, I want to bat number three. I believe I can make a contribution there. I think I can do something in that position. And today, thank heavens, was her day. And she actually just, like I said, she was aggressive. She batted with intent. Where it was easier maybe just to score at a run a ball and take it to the end, she didn't. She played some extravagant shots, and it worked out for her today.
Kevin, let's also talk about the role of the captain, Laura Wolfart, in that partnership, particularly a partnership of 96 for the second wicket, because I suppose with Bosch going so well at the other end, it way better than a run a ball, in fact, close to 1.5 runs a ball throughout her innings. As you say, she kept the scoring ticking on. It took a little bit of pressure off Laura Wolfart and allowed her to not worry so much about trying to chase the pace, but just to play her natural game. And she ended 42 from 37. But that innings in support of Annika Bosch was crucial in steering South Africa home. Would you concur?
I definitely concur. And I think we've spoken for the last 4 or 5 months on Laura Wolfart. And I told you back then, if we are going to do well in this World Cup, she's going to have to stand up. And I don't think a lot of your listeners know what an incredible woman Laura Wolfart is before I get into today's game. This was a woman in 2018 that was studying to be a doctor at Stellenbosch University. This was a woman that got 7 distinctions in the trick. This was a woman that, whether men and women, she was the youngest person at 17 to score a century for South Africa. She is the youngest woman in the world to score 1,000 runs in international cricket. She is she's absolutely amazing and a great leader, and I think we saw that with the players today. And her calmness and coolness definitely helped, like you said, Annika Bosch do what she did on the main stage today. And I think she gives the team a calmness, whether it's in the field or with the bat, to play a supporting role, but also to get those runs. She's actually got 190 runs in the tournament at 47.5. the most runs that anyone's got in the tournament. It's unassuming and hasn't even hit top notch at this point.
And the fact that she is in great demand for all these T20 leagues around the world, it certainly has helped her game remarkably, because at the beginning, even as recently as about a year ago, she was saying that she feels she needs to step up her run rate. She doesn't feel she's scoring quickly enough in the T20 format. So she's obviously learnt a lot from playing in all these leagues around the world. And as you say, calmness personified, hard to believe she's still in her mid-20s. She seems to have been around forever.
It is. And once again, that's testimony. I don't think South Africa promotes or celebrates their great sports people. Beat Jacques Callas, who would have been a superhero if he was Indian. She is a superstar, and it's someone that we can look up to as young, also young South Africans and young women can aspire to that. Not only great on the cricket field, not only a great leader, great academically, and a true leader of the country. And I'm going to say to you once again, Monica, she's got to have a massive game in the final. She's got to step up, and she will be the pivotal role. If she can get a 50, mark my words, we're going to win this game.
Well, that's big words, but I suppose if you said to South Africa, you would be firstly in the T20 World Cup final back-to-back for their second consecutive final. That's great enough, particularly given what happened on Tuesday night, where they were on the verge of potentially going out through the matters that they couldn't control. But if you said to them also, you would be playing either West Indies women or New Zealand women, there would not be an Australia in the final, there would not be an India in the final, there wouldn't be an England in the final. I think everybody would have looked at you and said, what is going on? Do you know anything about the sport, effectively? But that's what's happened, and it's a real great opportunity for the South African women to win a World Cup.
It's a brilliant opportunity, and those three teams that you are talking about, I mean, both of us rated them highly and thought that they would be in the finals, at least two of them. But West Indies have defied the odds. If you can remember correctly, West Indies was our first game of the World Cup, and we trounced them.
Yes.
We beat them by 10 wickets easily. They rely heavily on two players, Hayley Matthews and Dutton, who came back out of retirement. Great players. If they fail, I do believe West Indies will struggle tomorrow or in the final. And New Zealand as well. I mean, Sophie Devine has been in the game for years and years. Amelia Kerr, Susie Bates. These are big players. They beat us in the warm-up to the World Cup. Mm. However, like you say, they also haven't been in a final. They're not as used to the big day as Australia or an India or a England would be. So we have a chance, Michael. I think this is it. I'm going to be positive. And we are often so negative about South African cricket over the last couple of months. But we must remember that means it's back-to-back finals, at least for the Proteas women, and the final in June for the men. So that's a damn good running. And a semi-final in the ODIs World Cup.
Yes, absolutely. Kevin, I mean, you are Mr. Positivity. So I love your energy. I love the infectious enthusiasm. I absolutely agree with you. I think South Africa will draw on their experience from their previous final in Cape Town not so long ago, and they will use that. You mentioned in New Zealand with Amelia Kerr, who's been fantastic for them in the tournament, and one or two other players in the West Indies, obviously relying on a few players here and there. Their run chase the other day was particularly good against England, and they all came together. But, I mean, if they lose one or two of the key players, if Dotton goes out cheaply, for example, things could fall apart for them, where South Africa seemed to be building a real team culture. So it's going to be exciting. We're looking forward to that, and I think it's going to be a fantastic final. Let's whoever South Africa play, and we'll find that out tomorrow. I just want to, while we've got you on the line, we've only got a few minutes left, unfortunately, to chat. Let's just talk about some of the other events taking place around the world of cricket while we've got you. Firstly, I have to start with this. India bowled out for 46 in Bengaluru against New Zealand, and you thought, okay, the track, there must be something sensational happening in that pitch. New Zealand reply with 180 for three, with Devon Conway getting a big score, a South African-born Devon Conway. So what's going on there?
Cricket is a funny game. Rishabh Pant is only one who got into the 20. He played, he tried to play positive, but even his run rate was lower. It happens, Michael. Sometimes cricket is a funny game. You can have the Sharmas of the world. You can have the Virat Kohlis of the world. You can have the Rahuls, and it just goes apart. And in Bengaluru, on their own background, it's strange. But don't count them out. Remember, we spoke about the England versus Pakistan test match, and
yes.
Me as a correspondent even got it wrong. I said that game was over with 1.5 days to go. I said it was dead. The next thing we put on the TV the next day, and
yeah.
Pakistan had lost 7 wickets. So let's not count them out yet.
No, absolutely. I remember India, I think it was against Australia many, many years ago, coming back from behind, following on and turning around a test match to win. So anything can still happen there. Pakistan-England, you mentioned that second test, India match heavily affected by rain. But Pakistan-England, it's in the balance. It's intriguing. England need 261. They have 8 second innings wickets in hand. A real seesaw affair. Big first innings lead for Pakistan, but they collapsed in the second innings and then picked up 2 wickets before the close.
They did, and they got the vital wickets of Duckett and Crawley. Once again, Joe Root is going to have to stay there. He's on 12 at the moment. He's going to have to anchor it. 261 on that turning pitch at this moment, I think, is going to be difficult. As maybe the listeners won't know this, they're using the same pitch as in the first test. So I believe there's a lot of wear and tear. So I think if they can get Joe Root early, then it's probably going to be 1-1 after this test match.
And let's just go full circle. The other event taking place, the third T20 International in Dumbula between the West Indies and Sri Lanka. West Indies bowled out for an incredibly low score the other night. I was watching it while I was commentating that soccer match, and for a moment I clicked on it and I thought, that's the West Indies women, and they're losing wickets left, right and centre, and I thought, this is great. South Africa are going to qualify with England and everything's going to happen. And then I looked again and I saw, no, it's the West Indies men. Sri Lanka have done remarkably to turn that series around.
They have, and Sri Lanka's improving a little bit as well. As you know, they did well in the test series a couple of months ago. They've turned it around now. They've won that by 9 wickets today. So with Mendy scoring 68, West Indies did well against South Africa. So Sri Lanka's cricket is improving, and they're going to be on our shores very soon for two test matches. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. If you can remember the last test series they played here, they actually pulled off a series victory against all odds as well, with one of the greatest innings of all time played.
Absolutely. Kevin, we're going to have to leave it at that point. I'd love to chat to you for hours and hours about this, the euphoria that we're both feeling today, and we're both very passionate about this particular win. Let's hope South Africa can do it for the country in the final, but our women have certainly put us on the map. As always, fantastic to chat to you. Thank you for the enthusiasm, and thanks for all your exceptional knowledge about the sport of cricket.
Thank you very much, Michael. And if your listeners do have a Proteas shirt, wear it tomorrow. Let's make it Proteas Friday tomorrow.
Great idea. Kevin Rademeier, thank you so much again.
Thank you.